Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be. Hey, you guys, welcome back to Ever Be. I am sorry this is going up a day late. Our episode's released on Wednesdays, as you know, and it's been a little bit crazy this week. So we're preparing for our spring magazine for West Coast Catholic. You might have seen we came out with a winter magazine for Christmas, and in case you didn't put it together, or I don't know if it's supposed to be a secret, honestly, but I'll just tell y'all, we're coming out with a bunch of magazines, right? Like for the whole year, all these different issues. And so we're already working on the spring one. And the photo shoot is happening this week. And we had so much prep we had to do yesterday, and it just completely got away from me. Excited to be here with y'all today. Today we are doing a Q&A, the last Q&A of the year, and I haven't fully looked at every question. I've glanced over them briefly. I saw a couple fun ones, a couple serious ones, so I think it's going to be fun, and these are always a good time. I always love knowing, like, what do you literally want to know about me, about our lifestyle, or things you want to just know my opinion on or advice on? I am the eldest daughter in my family, so I love giving people advice because that's what I was literally bred to do, basically. All my eldest daughters listening know and can relate to that. So before we dive into the questions, let's do a little bit of an Ever Be moment. My Ever Be moment is that a couple weeks ago when we were in Mexico with my family, we got to have a first-class relic of St. Carlo Acutis, and he is a brand new saint. He was canonized late summer or early fall. I can't remember the exact date, but very recently, just like a few months ago. And so I don't even know, like, how do people have first-class relics of him already? But the opportunity arose, and we got to have the relic in our apartment in Mexico and pray with it. We prayed as a family for all of our personal intentions, and it was just such a beautiful, faith-filled moment that we will never forget. So was such a blessing, was so beautiful. But that's my Ever Be moment. I wish I could know what all your guys' Ever Be moments were. If you have one you want to share, you should DM it into the Ever Be podcast Instagram DMs, because I want to know your Ever Be moments too, you know? Okay, well, we'll leave it at that. Let's dive into the questions. By the way, we won't have a Ever Be answers at the end of this episode, because this whole episode is going to be an Ever Be answers. And then for Patreon, our after party, you won't be a Q&A, because again, this whole episode is a Q&A, but we're going to do a little Christmas house tour. I've gotten a lot of questions asking, like, to see the Christmas decor that we have set up. And so I thought it'd be fun to kind of vlog a little, like, what our Christmas decor is like right now. So I think it'll be fun. Trey and I will do a little house tour. So that will be on Patreon. If you want to join the Kingdom Club to get access to all that extra content, you know what to do. The link is in the show notes, but let's dive into questions. I'm going to try and get through as many as possible. Okay, first one up. Oh, this is funny. It literally relates to what I was just saying. How many siblings do you have? Is your whole family Catholic? Are your parents siblings Catholics, etc.? I am one of three kids. I am the oldest. We're all 5 years apart, so in very different stages of life. I'm 28, my sister's 22, and my brother is 17, still in high school. And we are all Catholic. My family is from Colombia, South America, where it is very it's the cultural norm to be Catholic, at least in like a cultural sense. Like, most people are baptized and have their first communion because that's just what you do there. But a lot of people aren't actually practicing. And so that's kind of how my family was growing up until high school. My mom had a huge reversion, and then kind of brought her whole family along with her, And that's a story for another time. But basically, yes, being Catholic my whole life. And then since high school, like mid to late high school, really dove into my faith in a much more intentional way. And then I had my own personal reversion in college. And my parents over the last few years have deepened their faith so much. And same with my siblings. They're all on their own journeys, but everybody is Catholic. So what a blessing, right? Like such an incredible blessing to be able to go home and have family, like my direct family, practice the same faith, and we get to support each other in that. So that's amazing. What was your biggest regret of your 20s? Wow. Okay. I'm still in my 20s, girl, okay? Just let's get that out there. Okay. First thing that comes to mind, is like, I don't really have regrets in my 20s. Honestly, I feel like I've lived it to the fullest that God has called me to, and I've been able to experience so much adventure and beauty and so many gifts that God has brought to our lives. And so I don't feel like I look back and I'm like, I regret this. Maybe the only thing I regret is I wish I had saved more money. And it sounds lame. And honestly, I wouldn't say that it like really set us back a ton financially, but that would have been a smarter thing to do. Like I was just always the girl that like spent my money in college. Like I worked and I got my paycheck and then I went shopping or something like that. And I didn't even have a savings account. And so that was kind of dumb on my part, I think. So I think that would be like something that I would say. I kind of regret not saving more. I started to save when I actually got a job, which was I was a focus missionary. And by the time that I started my job as a focus missionary, I had 8 months until I got married. And so I actually started saving once I got a job. And once you get a big girl job, you get big girl paychecks. Then you can put real money away. But I could have done so much more the years leading up to that. So I would say that. But honestly, no big regrets, which is awesome. So awesome. How do you study the Bible? So me personally, when I first started reading the Bible, not necessarily like studying it to like learn, but like just praying with and getting familiar with scripture, is I would do Lectio Divina paired with a method of scripture that a mentor taught me. It's called RAP, write, reflect, apply, and pray. And you apply that framework to like different gospel passages. And I was challenged to do 30 days of reading scripture and 30 different gospels. And that's how I started getting into reading the Bible and familiarizing myself with at least the books of the gospels. So that would be my advice. I have a resource on my website called The Gospel Habit, which is literally a 30-day scripture challenge that breaks down this method for you more, gives you the framework, and gives you the 30 passages that I think are amazing to start with for the 30 days. And it has a couple more resources in there as well. So that's a great idea if you want to get started on reading the Bible. Tips on how to study the Bible would be to do a Bible study that is more like educational, more than like prayerful. And Focus's Bible studies have taught me a ton. So the Crux or Salvation History specifically are like forming Bible studies that teach you what is the Bible really trying to say? And like, what conclusions can we draw from what we're learning in the Bible? Or what teachings does this coincide with the tradition of our church? And how does scripture and tradition kind of go together? So those two are really good. And then the other one I'm thinking of, I think it's called the St. Paul Center. They have incredible Bibles as well, Bible studies as well, that are very informational. So look through those and see if those are helpful at all. Okay, let's see. Another question. Next question. I want to start content creation, but I don't know if I might just be seeking validation or importance. This is a really good, just like self-aware reflection to have. Why do you want to start a platform? What is your purpose? I'll tell you right now, it's not easy, and you don't just blow up overnight, right? And I think a lot of people like the idea of the end result, and it takes a lot of intentionality to get there, especially because the creator space is so saturated now. Everybody wants to be a creator. And if you're really feeling called to it, go for it. And I think that if specifically, you know, I can speak to Catholic content creation, it's a balance, right, of evangelization and sharing your life. Like, the end goal is not to glorify your life. The end goal is to glorify God. And so what are you doing to show people, right, how they can live the faith in their everyday life and how you can encourage and evangelize them in their lives by sharing your life? So if you're wanting to do it in a more like faith-centered context, that would be some advice to really take that to prayer and ask the Lord, like, what is it that you want me to share? What is the message that you want me to share on my socials? And am I doing it for you or am I doing it for myself? Because if you're doing it for yourself, then God's not calling you to do it. And it's going to be really hard and not super worth it. I'll tell you that. I never started what I am doing now because I wanted to be an influencer, honestly. Like, I never thought that was like never my intention. It was literally like I loved my faith so much and was so inspired by other young women in real life that taught me how to be a Christ-centered woman and how to be a good Catholic, that I was like, other people need to be walked with in this way that don't have people like this in real life, right? So that was like the deeper motivation that the Lord put on my heart, and then it just kind of like turned into what it was. So hopefully all that is helpful. Let's see. Have you ever found yourself wrestling with some of the church teachings? Honestly, no. I don't think there's been a church teaching that I've really sat with and wrestled. I'll be honest though too, like, a lot of people engage with the faith either from the heart or from the head more. I totally did that backwards if you're watching the video. From your heart or from your head more. And I'm so much more of a heart person. I'm so much more of a charismatic person. An approach to my faith than intellectual. Not that I don't care about it or think it matters, but it's just not where I have dove in. Is that how you say it? Where I've dived in? And so... maybe if I like really dove into teachings, I'd maybe wrestle with them more. But like, as I have learned more about my faith, there really hasn't been moments where I've been like, I really struggle with that. Like, let me wrestle with it and do more research because like, I don't agree. You know what I mean? If I had to pick one, right? The two things that bother me sometimes, one is how I think the church doesn't have a technical stance on it, you guys. Okay. But, or maybe it does, but I've heard conflicting things from different priests. You know how like the church says like dogs don't go to heaven? Yeah. I have a hard time with that one. I think God gave you your cute little dog to be your companion on earth. Why wouldn't he want that cute little guy to be in heaven with y'all? And it's his creation. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm kind of iffy on that, I'll tell you that. And then the other thing that kind of bothers me sometimes is how like you're not married to your spouse in heaven. I do believe that there is, and I think this is all like literally church teaching, like there's like a special connection you have with that person in heaven, but you're not like married to them in the same way that you are on earth. And I love my husband so much that I'm like, what do you mean? I'm not going to be married to him in heaven. I want to be married to him in heaven. But I also know you're married to Jesus and God in heaven. And so then it's like, okay, your soul doesn't really long for anything else because it reaches complete fulfillment when it's in full communion with God. So, you know, that those are just like my human little worries that are so minuscule and they don't really bother me in my faith journey. So, all right, let's see what are some other questions we have going on here. You mentioned you listen to the rosary on your phone. Can you post the site app link that you use? The most common way I listen to the rosary audio version instead of just praying it myself is through the Hallow app. And I'll link it in the show notes, but with my link, you can get 3 months of the Hallow app for free. So you can check it out. I love listening to the daily rosary and I put Jonathan Rumi's voice on because it's so calming and soothing, but they have a bunch of different types of rosaries on there too, spoken by different people. Yeah, go check it out. I mean, it's awesome. And if you're having a hard time praying the rosary in your life, this is a great way to just kickstart the habit. There's no shame in it. I know a lot of people that don't feel like they're actually praying it if they're playing it on their phone. And that's not true. Okay. What is better? No prayer at all or playing it on your phone and praying along with it? So I do that often as I'm getting ready to go to bed if I didn't pray a rosary at other time in the day and I really want to get it in that day, I'll start playing it while I brush my teeth and do my skincare and get in bed. And it's such a peaceful way to wind down from the day and just give the Lord my prayer to close out the day. So that would be my recommendation. Question here, thoughts on NFP? My thoughts on natural family planning is that I agree with it all, right? That is the teaching of our church. And that is what we have always done. For anybody wondering, natural family planning is the teaching of the church on how to work with God's creation of your fertility to plan for children and space them accordingly. So it is your responsibility as a husband, wife, and potential parents to discern when your family is ready to grow and welcome children into it. And when you have your first child, to discern when to open that again for a second child and a third and et cetera. Natural family planning states that avoiding children should happen based off of really grave reasons. And the church doesn't specify what those grave reasons are in its wisdom, because the church doesn't personally know the situation of every family. So I'm not going to sit here and tell every newly married couple that they should be having kids right away, because I don't know the situation of every newly married couple. I will say, if you are preparing for marriage, if you're wanting to be engaged or are engaged, and you are fearful of having children and you are completely closed off to the idea of having children in your first year of marriage because you think it's too soon, then you might not be ready for marriage, because marriage comes with an openness to children and an openness to life. And so you have to discern that in your heart. If you're like, okay, maybe I wouldn't feel quote unquote ready, because who's ready ever to be a parent? But if God brought us children, we would happily, accept them and welcome them and raise them, right? Like, that is totally, like, to be fearful of like becoming a parent, like, that's totally normal, right? But to be closed off, that is where I would say, like, you need more guidance and discernment, and you need to talk to a spiritual director and other Catholic couples to kind of walk with you in that, to kind of figure out, like, why is it that you feel that way? And if that's the case, am I really ready to take the next step in marriage? Because under the guidance of natural family and planning, it states that contraception in marriage is not allowed. So every act of intercourse has to finish with the man literally inside the woman, finishing in the woman. Sorry to get graphic here, but that's just the reality. And that is the truth of what natural family planning states. And there cannot be anything that blocks the conception of life or fertility. So no condoms, no IUDs, no birth control pill. All of these are forms that are blocks to the miracle of life that God creates in you. And you coming together in marriage, if you are blocking that somehow, you're not actually receiving your spouse fully for who they are. You're saying, I want part of you, but I don't want all of you because I don't want your fertility. And that is not the fullness of love, you guys. Like, that's like not what true love in marriage was actually created to be. You're not experiencing the fullness of love in marriage if that's what you're living. So I encourage you to look into it more. If this is new news to you, I was chatting with a girlfriend group. We're all Catholic married wives. And it came up recently in a friend group that they have that, like, the quote unquote, like, the pullout method really works. And everybody was like, hold up, that's actually not okay and not in line with Catholic teaching. So just if y'all needed to know that, that also doesn't fly, because your end result there is not, right? Like what we talked about. So that's a little crash course on NFP. I'll tell you, NFP is incredible. We did the Creighton method for a long time when we were first avoiding in marriage, and Trey charted everything. I told him what I was seeing that day and he charted it all. So he knew exactly what part of my cycle I was at. And it brought us together in a whole new way. And I think it's really important for men and husbands to get really comfortable with your body as a woman and your fertility and understanding what all happens and what to expect. And then that way too, the woman isn't the only one who's like, it makes you feel like you're not the one like gatekeeping, right? Because if you're not trying to have kids, you're supposed to avoid intercourse when you're ovulating, when you're in your most fertile. That's when you can get pregnant. People think that you can get pregnant 100% of the time. You literally can only get pregnant during like a week window basically of the month. And there are like days before and after that that could be like likely, but you know, they'll teach you all that in your NFP course if you're taking it. So anyways, that way as a woman, you're not like gatekeeping sex and you're making these decisions together as a couple, depending on what your goal is right now in marriage. So anyways, it's really, really beautiful. It strengthens your marriage. It brings you together as a couple. And yeah, those are my thoughts on NFP. I probably should record an episode on this because, wow, I just got like really deep into the weeds of that. I hadn't talked about that in a really long time, really long time. So thank you for asking. I hope that was helpful. Okay, let's see. Oh my gosh, so cute. Someone says, not a question. Just want to share how many people compliment the nativity sweater. That makes me really happy. I'm obsessed with it, so I'm glad you're obsessed with it too. If you weren't doing West Coast Catholic right now, what do you think you'd be doing? What a great question. I've probably said this before. I didn't plan to be doing West Coast Catholic. I didn't plan to be a content creator. That's not what I thought what my life would look like. So if all those things hadn't happened in college and set me on this path, I probably would be working at a marketing agency. I've also been super entrepreneurial my whole life. So I could also see myself owning a marketing agency or a branding agency. I could have seen myself going back to school to get a graphic design degree. So I had more of like the hard skills with softwares and stuff to do graphic design. I love marketing, but I'm obsessed with branding. So I could see myself, yeah, either probably right after college working in some sort of marketing firm for a while or a branding firm, and then maybe going off and starting my own. But we'll never know, I guess, right? Because we do have WCC. So, but that's a fun question. Ooh, this one is so good. How to deal with parents that disapprove of young marriage in your early 20s. That's really tough. And I experienced that to an extent when we got engaged because I was senior in college. My boyfriend, LOL, Trey. Trey was a junior in college. And both of our parents actually got married young, which is hilarious. Trey's parents right out of college. My parents got married, let's see, when they were, yeah, I literally think 23 and 25. And my mom was still finishing up college. But my parents had a very different situation, which is why I think it made them so fearful. So our situation was we felt very strongly that we were being called to marriage. We were very prayerful in our decision. It was not a rash decision. We discerned it and spoke with several spiritual directors and friends who maybe had just gotten engaged or who went through a young engagement and were getting married and talked about like what should we be preparing for and all this stuff, right? So we knew that we were called to marriage and we were ready to pursue that. And when I brought it up to my parents, because my parents were the ones that were a little bit more kind of apprehensive about it being so young. They were not apprehensive about Trey, but it was like, why are you in a rush to get married? Like, just wait, you know? But that to them, or like their fear came from their own life experience. They got pregnant with me unexpectedly in college. They were boyfriend, girlfriend. They weren't married. It was not a planned pregnancy. My mom was, I think, 19 when she was pregnant. And I think she was 20 by the time she gave birth. And my dad was 22 or 21 or something like that. So super young parents, and their whole life started kind of backwards, right? Like they started with the kid and then had to get their life together, then got married and then moved to the States and like really started living their life. Whereas we were coming from a very different place and we wanted to do things the right way. We wanted to get married before we lived together. We were waiting until marriage to have sex. We wanted to start our life right after college because we wanted to start building that future for our family and that foundation early on because we knew we were called to marriage. The holidays are almost here, calendars are filling, to-do lists are growing, and everything feels a little fast. But beneath all the shopping and celebration is the real reason for the season, the birth of Christ. We often imagine that first Christmas as a peaceful and calm, a silent night, but in truth, it was anything but. A young woman whose life had just been turned upside down, a good man facing public humiliation, a ruler plotting to destroy them, and yet Mary surrendered. She found stillness. She found peace in the midst of it all. This Advent, Hallow invites us into that same peace with the Pray 25 Challenge, Be Still. Let's trade our to-do lists for time in prayer, meditating on Psalm 46, Be Still and Know That I Am God. The challenge includes beautiful reflections and readings from The Read of God and The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, both incredible books that I've read myself. You'll watch through the nativity story like never before and discover stillness right in the middle of chaos. And you can even get 3 months free of Hallow right now using my link, hallow.com/Mari. It's the perfect way to begin your most peaceful Christmas season yet. Today's podcast episode is sponsored by Camp Wetiwa, a Catholic adventure program located in the beautiful wilderness of the Colorado Rockies. Camp Wetiwa believes that adventure experiences can be one of the most powerful tools for spiritual growth. Everything they do at camp is intentionally designed to bring each camper into a closer relationship with God. They want kids to have amazing adventure experiences as well as faithful Catholic formation together. In other words, they use the adventure experiences to teach about the faith, with Mass every day, adoration, confession, as well as things like campfires, mountaineering, rock climbing, whitewater rafting, and an incredible staff of college-aged mentors that are on fire for their faith, Camp Wetiwa is helping kids experience life to the full. At camp, they sleep in teepees or tents, not cabins. Campers experience the raw beauty and power of creation because, as their namesake, Pope St. John Paul once said, our very contact with nature has a deep restorative power. Through unplugging from technology, as well as the noise and lies of the world, Camp Wetiwa strives to remind young people of their true identity and lead them into a joyful and transformative relationship with Jesus Christ in His church. Check out Camp Wetiwa's programs for middle schoolers, high schoolers, and even adults at www.camp-w.com. Sign up today for a chance to experience life to the full at Camp Wetiwa this summer.
I wish you could see my face when I was visiting my parents recently and my mom took out a giant jug of Cascade dishwasher detergent out of her grocery bags. After learning so much about toxins and ingredients the past few years, I literally cringe at seeing the conventional brands that we all grew up on back at my parents' house. And while I know that our parents did the best they could with the information that they had, it's now our turn to help our parents with the information we have. Am I right? Conventional dish soaps have a ton of harmful ingredients that literally disrupt our hormones, can cause cancer, and can literally wreck your gut. I'm talking like burning holes in your gut. So I immediately turned my mom onto my favorite non-toxic dishwasher soap. It is seriously more effective than the old brand we used. It's a fan favorite, and it leaves our dishes sparkling. Plus, it's all non-toxic. Right now, for a limited time, you can get 8 bags for free when you buy the pack of 8. That's literally 400 loads total for a fraction of the cost. So if you want to make an easy swap in your home right now, get on this train while the sale is live. The link is in the show notes.
And so we were really confident and really set on what our plan was and what this call was. And my parents were kind of fearful. They were just like, you have no money. You're not prepared. You're too young. You guys need to mature more. You need to at least be out of school, blah, blah, blah. And it's going to be hard. And like, why don't you guys just spend some time like, you know, getting established as an adult in the real world before you get married? And I mean, bless their hearts, right? I respect them. We had a lot of conversations. We had a lot of conversations, y'all. And I have Hispanic family and parents, okay? So they're not super easygoing, very opinionated. And so they were emotional conversations and they weren't easy. Lots of tears. And it was hard because I felt like I kind of had to fight for that a little bit at the beginning to be like, no, look, this is really something God's calling us to do. And we are ready. And we don't want to start our adult lives separately only to then start over again when we're together. We want to build that foundation of adulthood together. And the things that you have to tackle as an adult are literally going to be easier if you do it together. They're very worried about finances because they had literally had nothing when they started. And when they moved to the US, they had like $400 cash in their pocket, right? So that's also a big concern of theirs. And I was like, look, like we have real jobs lined up. We're going to be making money. for a year, almost a year, like 8 months before we actually get married. You know, we're starting to save. Here are our plans. Like, it was mostly about just like laying out the plans to kind of calm all the fears, because their fears wasn't like, oh my gosh, it's going to end in divorce because you got married young. That was not their fear. It was mostly like out of a place of like woundedness themselves and the background they came from, where they just wanted, right, us to have the best life possible and the most successful life possible and the least amount of resistance. And because they experienced a lot of resistance with young marriage, they wanted to save us from that. But I had to constantly remind them, like, my situation is not your situation. I don't have a child before marriage. We're starting from the beginning. You know what I mean? We're not moving to a new country either and like completely starting a new life. Like, it was very different. And so I had to really just kind of break down what our plans were. I think parents really want to know that, like, you've actually thought about it, that you're not just like, ah, yeah, we want to get married because we're in love and we want to live together. You know what I mean? And it shouldn't be like emotion led, right? And they're worried that that's probably it. And so you need to show them your maturity and your plan for what this life is going to look like once you get married, and address all of their concerns. Have conversations where you sit down and you really listen. Like, what are your concerns? I just want to know so I can open my eyes to see maybe things that I'm not seeing that you are seeing because you are older and wiser, right? And you're my parent. So listen to them. Take those and find the answers to all them, create the plans for all them, and then bring them back and be like, look, thank you so much for the perspective on that. Like, we didn't know that. We didn't think about that. Here's our plan. Or maybe you have thought about these things and you're like, oh yeah, no need to be concerned about that. Here's our plan for this. Here's our plan for finances. Here's where we're going to live. This is what our jobs are like lined up. And this is our plan for family and what the future is going to look like and where we're going to live and all that stuff. So hopefully that was helpful. I'll just say navigating it, like, it can be really, really hard. And I remember in that season always telling myself, like, it shouldn't be this way. Your engagement period should be so joyful and celebratory because that's what I grew up with seeing in all the rom-com movies. I'm such a romantic and I just have watched every rom-com movie out there. And what I came to realize is two things. One, yes, it should be. Right? Like, you deserve that. You deserve to be celebrated and supported by the people around you in this time as you prepare for engagement or marriage. But the reality is that, like, life is life. Life is messy, and engagement is just another part of life. And it's never going to be picture perfect. Your engagement's not going to be picture perfect. Your marriage is not going to be picture perfect. Your wedding is not going to go exactly as it seems. Your wedding planning is not going to be picture perfect. So, the sooner I realized that and was like, this is just a part of life, there's not really a picture of like how things should be because everybody's life is different and everybody's situation is different. But I had a few friends that were really supportive and other adults that were really supportive because they had gone through it and they were confident in our decision. And that really helped me to kind of keep going and trust in our decision. And eventually my parents did come around. They did come around and they were supportive and they were excited for us. And I mean, as the wedding came closer, they were all in. We were all in. So, another thing in that whole process was our parents, both on both sides, really wanted us to push the date back more because we were getting married in the middle of COVID and logistics were just super difficult to actually plan for what was going to happen by the day the wedding came around because stuff was changing all the time. But we felt really confident in the date that we picked. So you need to discern that too, right? You need to discern, like, between you and your future spouse and God, like, what is it that you are being called to? And when do you want to get married? What does that timeline look like? And try and really stay grounded in that, because marriage is just you guys, you know? It's not your parents anymore and it's not their opinion anymore. You can always respect your parents and receive their opinion, but you don't have to do what they say anymore. So we felt really, really strong about the date that we had picked, and we didn't want a longer engagement than we already had. And so we never moved the date, and we said, if there's one person at the wedding or 100 people at the wedding, we're getting married on March 13th, 2021. And that's what happened. And it was beautiful. And we were able to have everybody that we wanted to at the wedding. Okay. There's also an episode from a long time ago that's like everything I recommend to you in a season of engagement. So if you are engaged and you're listening, go listen to that. Okay. Wow. We're really on like a relationships train here. So this question says, how to explain chastity to a Catholic you are dating who doesn't understand or necessarily agree with it. The biggest thing that was important for me, I heard, I believe it was Jason Everett who said it in a talk once, maybe. I heard him say that sex is the physical vows that you make on the altar on your wedding day verbally. Does that make sense? So the verbal vows you say on your wedding day are renewed and are professed to each other every time you come together in marriage. Therefore, when you are having sex outside of marriage, you are physically and spiritually, because there is like a sacramental component to sex within marriage, right? And the purpose of sex, because it's made for the confines of marriage, there is a emotional and physical and spiritual component of making those vows to the person that you are being intimate with. And if that's not your spouse, you are making those promises to that person. And it is extremely difficult to be detached from that person once you're doing that. And I wanted to look at my spouse on the day of my wedding night and say, like, I have only promised these to you. Like, on my wedding day, I'm going to verbally say these vows to you for the rest of my life. And every time we come together in marriage, I'm renewing these vows to you and only you. Now, this doesn't mean that if you've already had sex outside of marriage that you can't renew this commitment and renew those vows. And it doesn't mean that that is not like as beautiful. It absolutely is. So I really encourage you, if that's you, to do that and to not feel like this doesn't apply to you, because it absolutely does. Now, the other thing is, like, there's many levels of, you know, physical intimacy that you get through before you end up having sex. And so chastity applies from the very beginning, right? It doesn't just mean don't have sex. I think that's a misconception. I had for a long time a misconception. A lot of Catholics have for a long time that chastity just means don't have sex until you're married and everything else is fine. And that's not true. So anything beyond kissing is saved for marriage. That is true fact. And all of that is technically for preparation of sex, right? Foreplay. Like, that's all part of the sexual act. And to think that doing that is not leading you to sin is to be naive, because it's really hard to do that and then have the willpower to stop. And so therefore, it's considered a near occasion of sin, where you're putting yourself in a situation where you're very likely to fall into mortal sin. So if that's something that you're experiencing at all, go to confession. If you didn't know, now you know. And I will say, my advice to this person that's asking this question, the person that you date needs to be on the same page and needs to be on board with chastity just as much as you are for it to work. They can't be doing it for you, and they can't be doing it because of you, right? They can't just be like, okay, I'm going to respect and agree to this because it's important to you. They actually have to believe it themselves. And I know this because I experienced this time and time again with different relationships I had, where I was the one who cared about chastity and they didn't. And any time that you slip up or you get weak is like their opportunity to be like, okay, I'm gonna, like, this is my chance, right? That's not true love. And our job is to get our spouse to heaven, not like we're saving them, right? Because that's Jesus. But like, we are tasked with helping our spouse get to heaven. And so I wanted to protect Trey even in our relationship, because I don't know if he was going to be my husband. I mean, I was pretty sure he was going to be my husband, but you never know until you're on the altar. And I don't want to lead him to sin or lead him to anything that's going to be a block between him and the Lord and him and his sanctity. And if the person you're dating is not on board with that, they don't have that mentality, and it's going to be really hard. So for me, it was kind of a non-negotiable to date someone that was on the same page as me, and it made all the difference. It made all the difference, and it is literally the only reason Trey and I were able to wait until we were married, because we were both on the same page. Okay, this question says, I'm an OCIA. How do I choose godparents for my children if we don't know other Catholics? And should I choose a saint name for confirmation? How to begin my search? Wow, how beautiful. Well, congratulations that you're in this journey of becoming Catholic. That is so exciting and so beautiful. And wow, it's going to be amazing. How to choose godparents when you don't know other Catholics? That is a tough one. I mean, I will say I can't speak from experience, but I have been a godparent to several of my friends' children. And I believe, and I know this because I had to fill out a form recently, I believe, and I might be wrong, so fact check me, please ask your priest. I think you actually can also pick, if you don't have any Catholic people in your life, I think you might be able to pick really faithful Christians to be godparents. So I would ask, in case that's not true. But then my other piece of advice would be to get really plugged into your community at church. And if you have kids, plug them into the kids programs, any sort of catechism that they have. Get to know the parents in the same like sacramental prep classes if they have those, and maybe ask people that work at the parish or that are very well connected at the parish, like, is there another family you can connect us with? Like, we want to learn, we want to get to know other families in the parish, and maybe make it a point to get to know other families in the parish for the next few months. And then from there, hopefully somebody would, you know, be fit to be a godparent for your children. That's kind of all I can think of right now. And then for confirmation saint, I would say start researching, start looking up, you know, top most popular saints or most beloved saints, or if you have a particular interest or particular part of your story that you want a connection to a saint, look that up. So for example, if you've been listening to this episode, you now know I was kind of an accident, and I will have to do a whole nother podcast episode one day, but my mom was not sure if she was going to keep me. She was being advised to consider abortion by people in her life. And it was truly through a miracle that she chose life, and that I'm here, and that my parents are still together, and that they're my family, and that the Lord literally saved my life. So I looked up, when I was 16 and went through confirmation, I looked up on Google saints for aborted babies, saints for unborn children, saints for children conceived out of wedlock. Like, I just wanted to find something that like related to me in some way. And I found Saint Gianna. And I had never heard of Saint Gianna before. And she is the patron saint of unborn children. And to me, that was really, really beautiful. She was a very pro-life saint. She literally gave her life for her children in the end. She connected with me a lot. And so I chose her to be my confirmation saint. So sometimes it's like a part of your story that you can kind of look up and ask Google or ChatGPT at this point. You can always use ChatGPT and kind of ask it a little bit about your story and say, do any saints relate to this? Is there a patron saint for XYZ, right? And maybe that'll something will pop up that relates to your story and just kind of fits perfectly. And people always say that like the saint ends up choosing you. So just kind of have an open heart. And when you feel it right in your heart, go for it. Oh, this same person also asked, what do you consider when choosing godparents or sponsors? You want to choose someone who is truly practicing their faith. I'm going to say it. There's a lot of Catholics out there who consider themselves Catholic and aren't actually really practicing their faith or don't know their faith really well. And the responsibility of a godparent is to help the parent informing that child spiritually and to be that example for that child of what it looks like to live a truly Catholic life. So when choosing godparents or sponsors, choose people that genuinely have a relationship with God, genuinely are in line with the teachings of the church and understand the teachings of the church and are living their faith out in their everyday life. Okay, there's a question here about budgeting tips. I'll just kind of share with you our approach to budgeting and finances because it's really worked for us the past few years. You can check up on it constantly, but usually in November and December, we have a big spreadsheet that's called Wagner Family Finances, and we look at what is our income going to look like in the coming year. And what of that is fixed? What of that is variable, right? So as business owners, we have a fixed income from our business, but as a content creator, your income from that is very variable because you have different affiliate programs. Nothing is set. It's just really up in the air. So you can't really count on that always. So we kind of determine what is our fixed income, what is variable income. And we don't usually include variable income in our plan because you can't really plan on that, right? So we choose our fixed income and then we look at our fixed expenses, right? What is it that we pay on our mortgage every month? Do you have a car payment? Do you have subscriptions that like are necessary or a gym membership? Or what do you normally spend on food every month? Gas, like all those things, insurance, like stuff that is always going to need to be paid every single month. So then we put that next and then we see what's left over. And then from there, we choose what amount we want to go into savings every single month. So we might have a goal by the end of the year that we want to get to for our savings account. And then we see what is left after those necessary expenses are paid. Do we have room every month to put X amount away every month so that we can reach that goal? How much would we need to put away every single month for the next 12 months to reach that goal? Can we afford to do that? If yes, then great. Then we take that amount of savings out and put it into savings, and then you have whatever is left over. And for us, savings is like savings / investing because some of it goes into our savings account, some of it goes into different investing accounts. So we kind of split it up that way. You can choose to then do the investing portion after the savings or altogether like we do or whatever. And then basically what's left over afterwards is just kind of like your free choice to do whatever you feel is important next with that money. So we have something called buckets, or we just call them buckets, where we have multiple bank accounts, all these different buckets, and basically it helps us work towards different things that we feel are important in our life and that are goals we want to work towards. So if we have a specific like home project or big expense that's coming up that we want to save for, or big project we want to do, we put that into one bucket and a certain amount of money goes in there every single month, as well as all of the like extra income we didn't expect goes in there every single month. And that starts building up month to month to get towards that goal of that big project, or maybe it's a home reno, or maybe you want to buy a car or buy a house, right? Big expenses like that, big projects. And then we have little buckets that every month accumulate. We put a certain amount in them every single month. They accumulate to just get to bigger numbers, right? So we have like a travel bucket that we put a couple $100 a month into every single month. And so then like, if we want to take a trip, we look at our travel bucket and we're like, sweet, we can buy flights. This is how much money we have for travel. We have one for necessary like miscellaneous shopping. If like winter's coming around and Trey doesn't have a parka, like, oh gosh, we got to get him a nice jacket. Like we go into there because we budgeted for like, oh, if you need extra clothes or something like that. So it's kind of meticulous. It kind of like is really broken down. We have a bucket for our dog. And so we put a certain amount of money into that bucket every single month. So if he needs to go to the vet, there's money in there. And it doesn't hurt our family finances because we prepared for that in advance. So I hope that's helpful. And then we also have fun money buckets. So we get a certain amount of fun money into each of our buckets every month. And that's money that you get to do whatever you want with, which is great. So hopefully that was helpful. That is how we do budgeting. Question here, where to shop for warm, modest masks clothes for those of us in bitter cold of winter? I get a lot of questions of like where to shop for modest clothing. And I'll just say, I don't have like a modest brand that I shop from. I just look for modest clothes in the brands that I like. And I just avoid the clothes that I feel is immodest. So I shop at all your mainstream stuff, you know, Abercrombie, Madewell, Zara. Where else do I shop? Oh my gosh. Little boutiques, local or online. New Flora is one that I like recently. I'll link that in the show notes because I have a code there. Aritzia is pretty cute, but it's a tad expensive, so I haven't really dove into that, but it looks real cute. What else? Why am I blinking? I don't know where I shop anymore. I mean, literally like 80% of my closet is Abercrombie because their petite sizes are so perfect for me, so it just works. But all in all, I don't have like a specific place I go to because they sell modest clothes. I think honestly, a lot of people are like, wow, you can't shop for anything modest these days. I don't think that's true. I think you just got to like actually look for the stuff that's modest and then buy that. And I don't really ever have a problem shopping for stuff that's modest. So that's my recommendation. How do you manage conflict in marriage? This is a great question. I'll give a synopsis, but if you want to dive deep into this, I'll link it in the show notes too. I have a workshop that I did with a licensed marriage and family therapist, literally walking people through how to improve their communication and work through conflict. It was a phenomenal workshop. I'm trying to remember how many people signed up for it, like 100 or so. And now we sell the recording of the live version that we did. So it's not live anymore. It's the recording that happened. But it's still so, so, so helpful. Take all the notes. I'll link it in the show notes so you can access it if you want. Biggest thing is communication is what's going to help you work through conflict in marriage, having the right communication tools. There are just going to be times when you're not going to agree on stuff or when someone's going to hurt the other person and you need to work through that. And the way you communicate is going to dictate by far is going to be the biggest dictator of how the conflict gets resolved and how you approach conflict. When you have poor communication with each other, when you're either not a good listener or you're cutting each other off or you're raising your voice or you're mocking each other or making fun of each other or dismissing the other person or belittling the other person, that's when the conflicts are going to grow and the other person is not going to be open to hearing what you have to say because you're not approaching them with understanding and respect, right? So you're not going to get anywhere. So the biggest tool that's helped us, two big tools that have helped us. One is I don't remember what it's called. They taught us this in a marriage retreat. I know there's a name for this tool and we talk about it in the workshop, is where you basically spend time listening to your spouse without saying anything and providing any feedback, without interrupting, nothing. You're actively listening and you're taking note in your head of what they're saying and trying to understand their point of view. And then once they're done talking, you get an opportunity to repeat back to them what you heard. And you get to say, if I understood correctly, this is how you feel and why, and this is the problem that you're perceiving. And then you ask, is that correct? Is there anything else? Is there something I got wrong? Is there anything you want to correct? Then your spouse has an opportunity to refine anything that was said that wasn't true or to say or to give any correction, right? Because I think a lot of times in arguments, your spouse is saying something and you just choose to take it a different way. And so then you repeat it back and your spouse is like, I didn't say that. And so now you're not actually arguing about the actual problem and you're just going around in circles trying to correct what the other person said. So this is really helpful to clearly know what is it that we're actually trying to work through. They have an opportunity to correct you. And if it's right and they say that, yeah, that's exactly how I feel. And then after they're done, you get a chance to talk and do the exact same thing and share your point of view. Now it's their turn to actively listen. And after you've said your piece, they repeat back to you what they heard and you get a chance to affirm that that's how you feel or make any corrections if you feel they didn't understand what you're really trying to say. And then basically you go back and forth with that strategy until both parties feel like they're understood. And the other part of conflict that is really important, the second piece of advice I have, is to always remind each other that you're on the same team, right? Because most of the time it's you two against each other. And what you want to remind each other is that it's both of you against the argument. And you don't want to be arguing. You don't want to be fighting with each other. You don't want to be hurting each other. And so, in fact, you want to be working together to overcome the obstacle in front of you guys and remind each other always that you're a team. And so this strategy helps you feel like a team because you're working through things together in a strategy that you're both implementing and agree to. And then something Trey and I do that I've talked about before is we'll literally pause and say like, okay, I just want to remind you, like, we're on the same team. Like, I'm on your team. I don't want to be arguing. I want to come up with a solution or I, you know, want to amend and I'm on your team. And that is very disarming and allows you guys to both remember that it's you two together against the argument, not you two against each other. So I hope that was really helpful. And if you want to learn more about different communication methods, different ways to deal with conflict and connect with your spouse, make sure you go check out the marriage workshop, and we'll link that in the show notes. Okay, one last question, because we are pretty much at an hour here. Last question will be, what is your favorite Bible verse? And for me, it's Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you besides. This has been my favorite Bible verse, I think, since high school. I don't really know how I came across it or where I first heard it, but I heard it, yeah, I think many years ago, and it has always, always stuck with me. Essentially, because the message of it is to keep your eyes on heaven and your purpose set on heaven, and to live for heaven, and everything else will work out. Like, if we order our whole lives around that goal of getting to heaven, the Lord will make sure everything else is taken care of in our lives and we don't have to worry. So it's always been very encouraging and consoling for my heart. I hope this was fun. I had a lot of fun answering your questions, and we won't be doing Everbee Answers, like I said, but for the after party, it will be a really fun little Christmas tour of our house. So if you want to check that out, make sure you sign up for the Kingdom Club. We'll drop that link below. And that's all I've got for you today. Happy Advent, you guys.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media. And give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at @everbeepodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.